Welcome to a place that loves a shoot and a work. My name is Ian, and this is the Combat and Pro Wrestling Podcast. Yeah, so today, episode two, I am joined by my good friend, Teddy, as I say, Buckley. How are you today, my mate?
As I say, I'm doing all right, mate. We're all good. I'm going to start it off with an as I say. It's what I'm about. It's the catchphrase of the day. Let's do this.
Thank you for joining me. So, Ted, you're the co-host of the Intercontinental Wrestling Podcast with your co-host, James. He's currently in America at the minute. We would have been nice to have him on today, but unfortunately can't make it, but it's still going to be fun to have you on. The reason why I want you on, and I was desperate to get you on for this first couple of episodes, because you're sort of the reason why I decided to do this in the first place. So you invited me on your podcast a couple of months ago, again, the Intercontinental Wrestling Podcast, as a guest. I really enjoyed myself. I enjoyed talking about wrestling. I enjoyed just catching up with yourself. And I thought, I'll give this a go myself. I really enjoyed it. So obviously, Combat and Pro Wrestling Podcast is about MMA and delving into sort of a bit of lighthearted wrestling. But yourself, you've got a bit more of a serious, much more detailed pro wrestling podcast. So people should check that out if you are into your pro wrestling. But that's why I wanted you on, mate.
Thank you for having me on, buddy. So I'm happy to support like my mates in their projects as well as my own, mate. So I'm not a problem. So if you ever want me on for a wrestling opinion, you know I'm always here for you, buddy.
Yeah, so we've already talked about you're going to be sort of back in Sheffield, currently in Manchester. You're going to be back in Sheffield during December, so we'll get something put together. Everything's audio for now, but I would like to get into sort of the video side of things eventually. But yeah, it'd be nice to actually meet you in person. Well, meet you in person. See you in person. It's been a while.
It has been a while. That's how long it's been.
It has been a while. Anyway, so I've got some topics for you today. Before we jump into some topics, I've got a bit of a quick fire round, I want to call it. So basically, I'm going to chuck two names at you or two things at you. And without thinking, I want you to answer it with one or the other. So for example, if I said red or blue, you've got to go
blue
or red.
Yeah.
Try not to think too much about it. You don't need to explain your choice. I just want you to throw it out there quick as possible. Don't think.
Yeah, that's fine.
Don't plan. Just a bit of a quick ride around to get those mental juices flowing before we get into some pro wrestling stuff today.
No worries, mate. No worries.
Are we feeling ready?
I'm 100% ready, bro. I'm 100% ready.
Perfect. Right then. Matt or Jeff?
Matt.
Cena or Hogan?
Cena.
Miz or Morrison?
Miz, every day.
WWE or AEW?
AEW.
Elias or King Corbin?
Elias.
Eddie or Ray?
Eddie.
Daniel Bryan or AJ Styles?
Daniel Bryan.
Raw or SmackDown?
SmackDown.
Rock or Austin?
Rock.
Nia Jax or Lana?
Neither.
I had to throw that in there for you because I know your feelings on both of those two, so I had to throw that in there as number 10.
Oh man, that was rough. The Daniel Bryan and AJ one, I was so torn between the two. I
thought there was a couple of us that were going to get you, but that one got you, didn't it?
Yeah, exactly, mate. Yeah. Exactly.
I just wanted to sort of put you on edge a little bit, put you on the back foot, get you warmed up.
I like that.
Right then, so, as I say, been friends a long time, don't see each other like we used to do. We actually used to live in the same house together, housemates. We used to watch wrestling. We grew up in his teenage years watching it.
To be honest, mate, me and you started NXT. You were the one that turned me onto that. I remember the first episode when we got Sky Sports at our gaff. NXT was just starting on TV, and then you were like, oh, I've seen this other WWE thing. So it was you that put me onto NXT, bro. I was saying that's by far my favourite.
Yeah. I mean, for myself, when I do watch it now, I probably prefer NXT to any of the shows at the minute. It feels a bit more like they take it seriously. There's not that many sort of screwy finishes and daft roll-ups. It feels like a good technical wrestling match. For me, our era, I was thinking about this the other day. Everyone does seem to have these certain eras. And I think when your era goes, you can't help but sort of zone out for a number of years.
Yeah, exactly.
I think I sort of came back into it. I watched it like about 99, 2000, zoned out. came back about 2005, and then I sort of lost it around 2009, 2010. I sort of missed the era of Punk and all that. I wasn't around. I sort of kept up to date with it a little bit. I sort of watched what was good, but I wasn't watching it anymore.
Yeah.
And then I can't really put my finger on where I sort of picked it back up. But just during, obviously, with the lockdown and stuff, during the first lockdown, I got back into watching 2005, 2006, because I was sat around a lot. I couldn't go to work, so I worked as a personal trainer. And the gym was shut. So I've spent this last year sort of catching back up on that and enjoying it again. So I've been watching it more now than I have done for years, really. I don't know if you feel like you ever zoned out for a few years at any point, or have you been quite consistent?
I've been quite consistent. See, I lost it like during like the up to like WrestleMania, probably, I want to say, I lost it in the 90s quite a bit. See, I picked it back up around probably 2001-ish. See, I know a lot about the previous years, but see, that's probably where I pick it up properly again, where my granddad's like recording me every pay-per-view on videotape and stuff like that. That's where I pick it properly back up. And then I don't think I've had a lost it ever since. I don't watch everything like I used to. Like, I do just watch, like, Simon Miller do his ups and downs, say, to get Mount Raw and SmackDown fix. I don't watch them live. But it's every pay-per-view, near enough, I do end up watching, say, 100%.
Yeah, yeah, cool. So, do you watch, so you don't watch the full shows anymore? Do you watch the sort of highlights, or do you find yourself watching the full shows?
I watch full show AEW Dynamite on a Wednesday. I watch NXT on generally on a Thursday, as I say, but the two SmackDown, Raw, it's with, because I work dodgy shifts, I work 4 days on, 4 days off. So if Raw falls on a day off, I will try watching it. But because I haven't got 3 hours, I can't stay up until like 4 a.m. and wake up at 9 to go to work. It's just not feasible.
Yeah, I've actually tried to watch a few Raws recently myself without the highlights, just sort of try and watch the entire thing. I think the problem with some of those shows is, especially Raw, it's so long. I don't feel like much is happening.
It's such a slog.
Within it, I want to watch a couple of good matches, and then I want to watch a good story, tell me a good story, make me laugh or get me invested, and then that's all I need to watch. I feel like I've got quite a short attention span as it is. So to get me to sit down for 3 hours for something that's not that important, I mean, obviously, I am a big MMA fan. To sit down and watch MMA for 3 hours is a tough sell. But if the fights are good and they're compelling and I've got some favourites on, yeah, they can keep me. But so an episode of, say, Raw, like you say, nothing's happening or barely anything's happening. It's tough. It's tough watching these days.
It's such a slog. I've done it for over the last few weeks because Mondays have fell on my days off. It's so hard to just sit and watch. I find myself wanting to switch over and just cut to certain moments where my favourite people are. Like, if I know Drew McIntyre's on at the start, I know he's generally not going to be on until the end, and then I'll want to see a bit of The Fiend, so I'll keep an eye out for the sort of 5-5 Funhouse sort of adverts. And I literally, most of the time, I sat through it, and I was sat on my phone, just sat scrolling through Facebook, not really concentrating what were on the TV, is say whatsoever.
I agree. I find that... I don't want to be that, or back in my day, it was better. I don't want to be that sort of, cause I feel like it still is our day.
Yeah.
But I feel like they have killed the idea of like a big star, like a superstar. Like, again, I've been watching 2006 quite a bit. Batista, he is definitely not the most technical guy. If anything, nearly everybody he wrestled had to carry him through a match. I think that's fair.
Yeah,
it sounds
fair.
A bit harsh, but I think that's pretty fair to say. But when his music hit and he came out, it felt like a big deal. The lights were flickering. Like him, Undertaker, you had Cena, Shawn Michaels, Triple H. Like, it felt like there's a lot of big sort of stars. And I think just coming up with some of the stuff we're going to talk about today, I was struggling to think of some big, big matches to line up.
No, exactly.
They seem to have watered down a lot of their talent, and I don't understand why.
See, this is where my big problem is that this is where Vince is, the ghosts are starting to haunt Vince. Because Vince had his guys, these older guys that have just carried on getting older, and he's not built anyone up. He's kind of fed these guys to his chosen few. Now he's only got a few chosen, like Roman, for example. He fed everyone to Roman. Now there's hardly no one to fight Roman anymore. He's beat everybody. He's already beat most of the roster at this point.
I think you only have to look at the Saudi Arabia shows they put on to see there's no new stars anymore. All the Saudi shows are just the old guys. They bring them, they're basically carting them out. And if anyone's not seen it, that's not really into wrestling, if you want to watch an absolute car crash, watch The Undertaker vs. Goldberg in Saudi Arabia. That was... It's actually worrying to watch because, if I remember it rightly, Goldberg picked The Undertaker up and dropped him straight on his head.
Yeah.
A 7 foot 50-year-old man with all that weight straight on top of his head. It looked like it could have killed him.
Oh, it could have. It's a... that's... These Saudi shows, say, I know they're wanting to wheel out old stars because that's what the Sheik wants, but it does showcase that obviously the Sheik's not watching much of the new sort of the new stuff. It's, he's more interested in the older guys, so he must not like any of these new guys that are coming in. You're absolutely spot on, mate. You're absolutely bob on.
Anyway, so we've rattled on for a few minutes. Yeah, we've been sounded quite negative. To bring things back up, what I want to do is I want to go over three moments over the last year, so in 2020, that you really enjoyed and why people should still watch it, or why people that are already watching it are sticking around, because there's still good things going on. There's a lot of negativity sometimes, and it doesn't feel like... Again, we've just gone on quite negative anyway. So what we're going to do is we're going to come up with three things each, our favourite things from this year, sort of throw a bit of positivity towards it. So I want you to start first, mate. What's your first thing this year that you really enjoyed?
So my first moment, I'm going to start off at the start of the year for me. Probably wrestler you won't know of me, since you're not big into the more indie side of things, is Tetsuya Naito finally winning the big one. He won both the belts, the Intercontinental and the NJPW, World Heavyweight title. He won both belts. He basically... Every time he's been in the main event of Wrestle Kingdom in NJ, he's always lost. He lost to Naito. He lost a few years in a row in the main event when it was like he's getting older. I thought his moment might have been gone. And he finally, they had a two-night event where he beat Jay White on the first night to capture the Intercontinental title. And then he beat Okada in the second night to crown himself double champion. You could feel the fans, as say, were finally there for him, basking in that final moment that everyone's been calling for years, mate. As say, that he's finally there and he's won the big one. And that was a massive deal for me. If you want to try and find something other than the normal stuff that you'd watch in the US wrestling scene, go and give NJPW a watch. If you want to see wrestling and want to see physical wrestling, NJPW is your place. As say, the storytelling, but it's very much, it takes a back seat to the action in the ring.
And how would you be able to watch this? So what site would you have to go on, or what app would we use if we wanted to check this out?
So you can watch on, you can get it on Fight TV, as you say, but the cheapest way of doing it is you can watch on NJPW World. As you say, if you sign up to them, it's the offer free matches on there, or if you're willing to pay £7 or $7 a month, it gets you the last 40 years of NJPW wrestling. As I say, so you can go and watch the legends that are in there now, like your Hulk Hogan's, like back in the day. You've got AJ Styles has run over there, Brock Lesnar's run over there, Kurt Angle fighting over there. You get all these legends that went to NJ, as I say, and fought for a little while.
Yeah, I'll have to give it a check. I always hear about the Japanese strong style element of the wrestling over there. It's supposed to be more hard hitting, more impactful. It's more of like a sort of a worked fight instead of sort of like a soap opera-esque sort of story. Sometimes I think in a lot of the American side of wrestling, maybe WWE, sometimes the sort of theatrics around the actual match are more important than the actual match.
Yeah.
Which I don't like that myself. I like to watch people get dropped on the head, whether it's a shoot or a work. But yeah, so that's a good one. So I've heard you mention him a couple of times before.
Yeah, there's one guy I want you to look at. This is something for you. His name is Minoru Suzuki. He epitomizes like the Japanese strong style. He's an MMA fighter. He fights MMA, but he does wrestling, and he's one of the most scary guys. Like, he's only little. He's not a big guy by any stretch of the imagination. He's a smaller guy. The presence and that fear that he, in his style, just suit that sort of strong that violent style, which I think you'd get a good kick out of it, Minoru.
I'll have a look. I'll have a little look. So it's on that Fight TV.
Fight TV.
I'll check it out. So for me, the first one of this year, I don't know if you've got this one, but again, mine's quite simple stuff. It's not, I'll not be juggling to all these different promotions because I don't watch many of them. But for me, as a guy that watched it in the mid-90s quite often, at the Royal Rumble at the beginning of this year, when Edge came back, that was incredible. That was, I think I had the Royal Rumble on. Again, we had crowds at this time. I was watching it live. Or I was watching it, I usually watch it the next day. Anyway, so I had it on. It was sort of in the background. I was paying attention to what was happening, but I wasn't at the same time. I watched the Lesnar, McIntyre bit. That was quite good. And then all of a sudden, Edge's music hit, and I was like, hang on a minute, he's been retired for like 10 years. I thought his neck, I didn't think he'd be able to ever wrestle again. And we talked about it a little bit afterwards, and you said there was rumours that he was coming back and stuff. I didn't really hear any of these rumours. So when he came out and the look on his face of, he looked like he was almost about to cry because he couldn't believe he was back. And like the young fan in me was just like, I can't believe it. I cannot believe Edge is back in. And then I know he's had a couple of matches since. I think he's off now with a small injury, but he's supposed to be coming back. And again, you go, like we talked about at the beginning, if you have these errors, it's good to sort of come back and try and get into it now. But I'm not invested in a lot of the guys as I was Edge, because I feel like I've spent so many years. One of my favorite moments in wrestling when I was 15, maybe, I was watching it, and I stayed up and watched the New Year's Revolution.
Yeah, with us.
And the match ended, and I was angry. I was thinking I had a few beers. I probably had a few too many beers at that age. And I was actually angry that Cena still had the belt, and I hated Cena at the time. And then when Vince McMahon came out, said someone's going to cash in his opportunity, Edge came out and cashed in his Money in the Bank opportunity, the first time anyone's ever cashed in, and he won it, I went from being an angry little 15-year-old, so I was jumping up and down at like 4 a.m, like I couldn't believe it. But so my first one would be Edge's return at the Royal Rumble. I thought it was amazing. What's your number two?
So a quick point on your number one is, say, my housemates actually had a chat with me the night afterwards. I was yet again watching it live, with early in the morning, and Edge come out, and I literally shouted, I was shouting at the top of my voice at 4 a.m, like whatever time it was. So my housemates like went, "What the fuck went off last night?" I'm like, "Look, sorry, mate. Edge came back to wrestling," and a few of the guys in the house that I've watched it in the years gone by went, "Oh, Edge has come back," and it seemed, it were nice to see other people, even though not fans now, they know who Edge is. It's the same, they were happy that he came back. So my number two is the AEW, is an AEW memory, and it's the Stadium Stampede. So I don't know if you know this, the Elite, Kenny Omega, Matt Hardy.
Is Matt Hardy part of the Elite?
No, he was in this match as part of the Elite. So it was the Young Bucks, Kenny Omega, Hangman Page, and Matt Hardy versus the Inner Circle, which is Chris Jericho, Jake Hager, Sammy Guevara, and Santana and Ortiz. And they fought it at the Jacksonville Stadium, in the Stadium Stampede match. And it was just wackiness. It was just absolute. The theatrics were just amazing. It was just like a Hangman came out riding a fucking horse and like chased Sammy Guevara down on a horse. And then they were, they had a barroom fight. They had Matt Jackson suplexing Sammy Guevara from the halfway line to one of the end zones. Then you had Chris Jericho attacking a mascot. You had Matt Hardy.
So your second is less of a moment, more of an entire, is it a match or the entire event?
Just a match. This was a match. The Stadium Stampede was a match.
I remember seeing, because I sometimes I'll not watch a lot of it. I'll just sort of listen to a few little things on YouTube, whether it's the Wrestling Observer. Sometimes I'll listen to a bit of Jim Cornette to clean the palate a little bit, because I think he's quite funny. But I there was a couple of different sort of takes on this match. People that like an actual sort of strict match, again, Jim Cornette, he hated it. He seemed to hate this match. But then he did get quite a lot of love from like the Wrestling Observer, Dave Meltzer, and a few other places, and I saw clips of it, but it just seemed so. I think so. My girlfriend's more into AEW than I am. She's quite a big AEW fan, and I think she was watching it, and I was in and out. And I think if I remember rightly, I could have this completely wrong, so correct me if I'm wrong. Did like three different versions of Matt Hardy was in this match? One minute he was Matt Hardy from years ago, and then all of a sudden he's like a new Matt Hardy. Then he's like
Broken Matt.
The Broken Matt. And I was like, which one is it today? But it was all three within the same match.
Yeah, so is that right? So basically, like Matt Hardy in his compound, he has the Lake of Reincarnation. So every time someone goes into the Lake of Reincarnation, they come out as a new character. Like Jeff Hardy got thrown in there once, and he came out as Willow. He's saying the Hurricane got thrown in last night on Full Gear, and he came back as Shane Helms, like the reporter guy. And it's basically he poured the water into, like, there's a pool at the Jacksonville Stadium, like where all you rich people watch American football while they're in a pool. And he dunked his head in the water, and he just kept coming out as a different version of Matt Hardy. And it's just fucking amazing. It's so fun. It's just fun. It was mid lockdown. They weren't allowed to have any fans there, and it was just fucking mad. It was like, what can we do to make this lockdown shit bearable?
So, if anybody's still listening, that's not a big wrestling fan. Try and wrap your head. I don't know if you'll be able to even wrap your head around what we just talked about there, because that just sounds, even for someone that knows what wrestling is and still watches it, it just sounds like madness. But this is sort of why I wanted to include a bit of pro wrestling in this. I was just going to do an MMA podcast at first. I like some of the madness. I like there's no way you can think of some of this stuff. I think life in general becomes quite predictable.
Yeah.
And I think this is why I've always sort of clung on to sort of pro wrestling. And always sort of chip back into it every now and again, because it's just crazy. It's mad. And as someone that's quite creative, and I'm always trying to plan or think of something new. That'll always keep me on my toes. Again, some of it's bad and some of it's genius. And then it depends what your perspective is. And like yourself, you loved it. Some people might have hated it. They're just like, why wouldn't they just get in a ring? And why are they in a football field? Why do they keep jumping in a lake and transforming? It's crazy.
But, funny, man.
So, my number two. It's a moment, but it's also a story as well. So, these last few years, I've been in and out, not as much as I was, but when I was tuning in to watch, I was sick to death of the sort of Roman Reigns on top character, bland, nothing going on. Just, I know there was quite a lot of fans, but for me, personally, I didn't like the Roman Reigns of the last, say, four or five years. And I think a lot of the fans echoed that in the crowd. They booed him a lot when they're supposed to cheer him. But for me, my number two would be the fact that they finally turned him heel. I think it's the right time. I don't think a lot of people seem to think, or a lot of fans seem to think, they should have done it a long time ago. I think you needed that desperation and that build for him to find his mark to then turn him heel. And that's why he's so good now. Like, I think he's one of the top, he's one of the last guys that feels like a big star in a world where a lot of them seem quite mid-card these days. He feels like a superstar. He's obviously got Paul Heyman with him as his mouthpiece. Everything he does is quite serious. He doesn't joke around too much. And it comes across as a guy that would beat you up, which I think you still need. I know it's a worked fight. That's what pro wrestling is. It's and by worked, I mean it's sort of stage fight, and a shoot means like a real fight. Yeah. You know what I mean by real fight? Yeah. I don't want it to be sound disrespectful, because I'm not disrespecting it, but it comes across as a guy that was tough. And on your podcast, when I came on, I sort of talked about sort of like the Chris Benoit's that you took as very seriously, even though it was a wrestling match. You took them as serious, tough guys. And I feel like sometimes that's lost a little bit. And Roman Reigns is coming across like that now.
Yeah.
Comes across as a badass. My number two would be everything they're doing with Roman at the minute. What would your number three be?
So my number three I have down is... So my number three was going to be O'Reilly and Finn. I think I've misinterpreted your point. I've like gone for three matches. That meant a big deal to me. So you've gone for three moments. So I don't know if I've come across the question a little bit wrong. So
I'll not lie to you. My number three is Finn Balor versus Kyle O'Reilly.
Okay.
As a fan, but I don't want to steal it from you. But by when I asked sort of if you to think of three moments, usually it is a wrestling match, and that's what wrestling is. But just three moments in time over the last 3 years that you really enjoyed or made you enjoy.
Yeah.
The art that is pro wrestling.
Yeah, I'm gonna use it then, mate. I'm gonna go with Finn. Finn and O'Reilly. So my number three is for me when NXT's got great again was Kyle O'Reilly versus Finn Balor. It was such a hard hitting match. That was just really back and forth. I weren't sure who were gonna win. It was something different. It felt more like a shoot fight than a stage fight with how heavy hitting they were.
So the reason why I've also got that is one of mine, but we'll have it as one of yours because I've got a backup just in case this happened. I thought it was going to happen with the Edge thing, but obviously it's not happened with that one. But so the reason why I picked this match is because, again, it doesn't need to look like MMA or it doesn't need to look like a fight for me to enjoy it. I enjoy pro wrestling just as much as just as long as I have watching a fight. For an MMA fan watching this fight, everything Kyle O'Reilly was doing, I was like, oh shit, like he actually understands MMA, not just jiu-jitsu. Let me break this down for you. So you'll see a lot of people or wrestlers, you can be like, oh, it looks like he's got a bit of a Muay Thai background, or it looks like he's done a bit of boxing, or he's done some sort of national wrestling. So some of the positions he was using a lot of neon belly slide across to the other side. That's a very advanced MMA position that you would use. You can use it in jiu-jitsu, but you wouldn't use that position in jiu-jitsu that often because it's more of a position you throw strikes from as opposed to a choke or a joint submission. So the fact he was going neon belly, his base was very good. And this is something I use quite a bit that a lot of people still don't seem to use in the training room, is you pressure with the neon belly, and as they go to turn away, you slide, you sort of balance on your knees. It's more of a small man sort of move. And you basically skip across with your knees and you're on neon belly on the opposite side. And it's a very quick move. And while I was watching the match, Kyle O'Reilly did that. He was throwing some sort of work strikes from the neon belly and he floated over very fast, very smooth. And as soon as he did it, I was like, oh, he understands fighting. He understands the positions you need to be in, throw strikes. So somebody that's just watched a bit of MMA and not done it. So a lot of people think the mount position, so a full mount, is the best place to throw strikes. Problem is you can't get your hips involved and generate more power. So you switch to the neon belly to use your hips to generate power. I don't want to keep going on about, I just go on about this position all the time because there was some beautiful submission moves in there. They were switching from like an armbar to a triangle to a back take. And you see a lot of pro wrestlers try and do some of these moves all the time because they've seen them on TV. But you can just tell some of them don't actually understand the move. Whereas Kyle O'Reilly, you could just see he's got a background. I don't know what his background is, but how he moved, his base was very good. His positions were very impressive. He was doing things that a lot of pro wrestlers don't do because they don't understand where you actually would want to be if you really wanted to do some damage. If he was intending to do some damage, not to go on too much because I know this is your point, but where he did, so Balor did like a kick to the gut and Riley stepped back, went to step back in and like a delayed reaction, then bent forward as if he was winded. And that is exactly what happens when you get hit in the liver or the solar plex in the training room or in a fight. You sort of get hit and you have a second or two where you think you're okay and you go to move and then all of a sudden your body shuts down and there's nothing you can do. And when he did that, I was like, oh, he's done some sort of sparring or fighting because he understands what it's like to be winded. You don't get hit in the gut and just go, and bend forward and fall down. You have that delayed reaction. And when I saw him do that, it was fun I didn't have to suspend my belief too much when I was watching him, because I was like, oh yeah, he understands. He gets some of these positions. And you don't need to. So I don't want to go on too much. But you don't need to be like that all the time. But just to see it for the first time in maybe ever, I've ever seen it in a wrestling match, I really enjoyed it myself.
Yeah, same here, mate. See, it was it blurred those lines, like you say, between work and shoot. It was very, very, very well put together by the both of them. It brought me back to, I've never left NXT, but when my full attention isn't on the show, it's brought me back to the forefront where I'm excited about NXT again properly. So yeah, mate, I completely agree. I think you've I love that match. It was so good. One of my top 2020 moments this year, 100%. So what's your third one, mate?
So just to skip over this one quite quick, because we have gone over half an hour already, and there's quite a bit I want to get into, but this is basically how me and you get going when we're on the phone anyway. We're on the phone for a couple hours.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, so my third one would just be Halloween Havoc, the NXT show that's just gone. I really enjoyed it. Nothing's really happening at Halloween. You can't go out, not that trick-or-treat anyway, I'm nearly 32 years old. But you can't go out and party, you can't do anything on Halloween. So just sat in, I threw that on as a bit of background, just to be in the background. I ended up just watching the entire thing. It weren't background noise, it was, I actually sat down and I enjoyed the sort of fun Halloween aspect of it. I think they did it really well. It didn't need to be taken too serious. But the actual matches that were on, apart from the Haunted House one, which I found more funny than I think a lot of people sent to when I looked at the reviews. What was the two guys in the Halloween, the Haunted Cameron, House match? What were they called?
Cameron Grimes and Dexter Lumis.
So there was a point, and this shows how much of an idiot I am, but there was a point where Cameron Grimes walked into the Haunted House, right? And there's all sorts of things that are supposed to scare him. But when he first walked in, he looked up and there was like a deer head on the wall. Just a normal, cute deer. Obviously, it's got a head on the wall. But that wasn't a Halloween piece of decoration. It was just a deer on the wall. And he looked up and he like panicked for a second and like jumped back and was like, oh, like scared. And it made me laugh because I was like, that's not even a fucking Halloween decoration. I thought it was very subtle how he did it. And it just made me chuckle. Anyway, other than that, some of the matches on the card, the two women's matches were amazing. The Rhea Ripley and what's the bigger one?
Raquel Gonzalez.
Yeah, Raquel Gonzalez. She's like 6 foot. You don't usually see women that big. They're both tall, in shape women, like both nearly 6 foot tall, and they both move really well. I thought the match was great, and then the title match at the end was really good. So I enjoyed the two women's matches.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Io Shirai. So she's very, very good, and Candice LeRae's. Yeah, I've seen her do like things on the indies, bro. So I'm just so happy that she's getting used in the right way. Yeah, again, Rhea Ripley. I wish Rhea Ripley's one of the people I feel if there weren't no COVID this year, Rhea Ripley would have gone on strength to strength. But I think COVID's got in her way a little bit.
But as far as I know, I think she's in her early to mid-20s still, is she not?
Yeah, she's only very young, so.
She's very young, and I think that the safest place for her is NXT at this minute in time. From watching anybody that goes from NXT into the main roster, they just tread terribly at the minute. I think Vince McMahon is like 90 years old. He just doesn't know what he's doing. So they all seem safer in NXT just waiting until he retires.
So I think Finn Balor, for this, made a statement that when he came back to NXT, that pointed, like showcased it for me. The WWE, Raw and SmackDown, He's like being in a film in Hollywood, whereas NXT is where you're on Broadway and it's a theatre. So whereas one's for your fame and your fortune, the other one's for your love and your craft.
You can see that.
Yeah, it's such a fantastic analogy of it. I've never heard anyone put it like that before, and it showcases it so well. You can tell the people that love wrestling are in NXT. And the people that are in for the more fame and fortune side of things.
I'm with you. Right, so this is what we'll do. I'm going to throw a little palate cleanser into you, or at you. I want you to give me an answer, an honest answer, and then we're going to get into the next subject. So I haven't asked you about this one yet, so this is just to break up the sort of pattern we're at the minute. I'm enjoying this, but I want to get going. So if you had to watch one of these matches, so you have to watch one, you haven't got a choice. You've got to watch one of these three matches.
Okay.
Which one would it be? So, match one. King Corbin wrestle Elias.
Not very happy with this one.
Very underwhelming. Very underwhelming.
Actually, can I ask a question?
Yeah, go on.
So, in the King Corbin match, can we have the Lion King, like, Elias falling off the balcony again?
No, it's just a straight-up technical match.
For fuck's sake, okay.
So people, that, again, I don't think anybody's still listening to this at this point that aren't wrestling fans, because they ain't got a clue what's going on. It's madness. But if you are, basically what I'm about to do, I'm going to pull the curtain back a little bit. I'm going to give him three shit matches to pick from. And he's going to tell me which his favourite are. None of them are going to be his favourite, but he's going to pick one. So the curtain's back. So curtain back closed. Close these curtains. So King Corbin versus Elias in a straight up technical match. A 60 minute Iron Man match between Braun Strowman and Lars Sullivan.
That's the most appealing up till now.
I don't know why I'm finding this so funny. Match three is in Saudi Arabia. It's The Undertaker versus Goldberg 2. And it's booked to go over 10 minutes.
I'm taking short. I'm not watching that. If someone will die, and say there'll be a legit death like if it goes over 10. I think Goldberg would have a heart attack. He's never been in the ring for more than 10 minutes like in his career. So within at 50 odds, say like he's now, that's hot.
So you're telling me then, so your pick before we move on, your favourite of the three, the one that you would like to watch the most, is a 60-minute Iron Man match between Braun Strowman and Lars Sullivan.
Unfortunately, yeah. See, and I feel horrible, like, I feel like I'd lose my mind before the end of the 60 minutes. I'd, like, I'd be that angry that I'd just, like, I'd just burst into flames, like.
The reason why I picked that one is because I know you just don't give a fuck about either guy. If you have to watch them wrestle each other for 60 minutes.
Ah, see, fuck me.
Anyway. Right. We'll take a quick break and then we'll be back after this. And welcome back to the podcast. Flying here, we're over 40 minutes already, so I'm enjoying it. It's going to be a longer episode, so strap in, everyone. So I feel like we've been quite positive-ish there with three things that we really enjoy about the last year. I want us to get through this one a little bit quicker if we can. This one's basically three things to change. I've called this one Changing the Landscape, and the idea is I want us to sort of bat around three ideas each of how to improve pro wrestling as a whole product. It doesn't have to just be WWE. It can be AEW or Japan or whatever it is. But just three ways that you could improve your viewing experience. So we'll start with your first one.
So my first one, they're kind of already starting to do it. So I want to stop. I want AEW. I want the EVPs. So that's Cody Rhodes, Kenny Omega, and the Young Bucks. I want them to stop being so nice and being so worried about putting themselves over, because Kenny Omega is the best wrestler in the world. But as a new person that doesn't know any of his NJPW work, he looks like Joe Midcard at the minute.
So I am that person. So I remember you telling me quite a bit about him. So I tuned in myself when AEW first started, and I was like, I can't wait to see this guy. Apparently he's amazing. And then I watched him win a match or two, lose a match or two, didn't really do too much. And I was like, all right, it's just another guy. And then I think I just sort of lost a bit of interest in it. So I am the guy you're sort of appealing to now.
Yeah, exactly. So without ruining any results, as I say, for full gear, it's starting to look like they're starting to go, hang on, we need to put ourselves over. So I'm hoping that we're now trying to turn that corner, but they need to just start thinking of the popularity instead of being nice to the friends that they've got in. It's now time to build. Kenny should have been champion from the start. You see, for me, in AEW at the moment, both your world champions that you've had in your history are both top WWE guys. You're setting the wrong precedent there.
I think you're exactly right there. So I think there's a reason why they're the elite or the top guys for a reason, because they was over and they had the power to put on an entire new product and Tony Khan?
Tony Khan, yeah.
Who's like the Vince McMahon of AEW, or the owner. He's the reason why he put the product on, in my eyes anyway, in the first place, is because he believed in this group of guys. So they were so over. But then, again, I think, like you say, they were too nice. They didn't want to just make themselves look amazing. So they brought in all these other guys, which they're okay. So there's quite a lot of okay guys there. And there's some better ones now as well. It's building up. But they, like you say, they've just completely pretended like they're not that good. And I was genuinely interested in seeing what they do. it's all right. You can spoil Full Gear because this is probably not going to come out for a few weeks after recording. So the Young Bucks, as far as I know, have just won the belts.
Yeah, which is good.
And it's been over a year, and they've been the best tag team in the world.
Yeah.
And it's only now they're getting the belts, so I don't know if that's a good thing or not. So are you finished on that point?
And Kenny won the tournament as well, so Kenny's going to fight Mox now for the belt.
Yeah, I think you've got to take it off him, because what I've seen, John, it's doing John Moxley a disservice at the minute, because I don't find him... I'm sure he could be a good character, put him in the right, but they've just put him as champion forever. And I don't think he's that compelling of a character.
No,
at the minute.
Moxley has the same problem as Ambrose in WWE. He's a fantastic chaser of the belt. You want to see when he's chasing the belt, you want him to win it. But when he gets the belt, it's like, I don't care. It's like, I don't give a shit. He's champion. It's just one of them where he needs the belt off him. Like the match he had with Kingston last night, he didn't need the belt. That match didn't need the belt, and the belt's sent like an add-on, whereas the belt should take the showcase. But yeah, it's a, but onto your first point, mate.
So my first one, it's quite a simple one. I don't like adverts mid-match. So I don't like to, if I sit down and start watching a match, it gets 3 minutes in, and then it cuts to advert, and I've got to watch a 3-minute advert on BT Sport or whatever you're watching on it. By the time it comes back, I've lost my interest. I can't remember where we was. It happened the other day. I was watching Cedric Alexander. He was just about to do a flip over the top rope. He hit the ropes. He went to dive over the top rope onto someone, and it just cut out to advert. And I was like, what? Like, that's not the time to go to advert. If you're going to do it when they're both knocked down. But for me, again, I'm going to use the sort of MMA world. For me, I couldn't imagine sat watching an MMA fight, and 2 minutes into the fight, it cuts out and goes to advert. While I'm watching the fight, I'd be like, what's fucking going off? And then it comes back and they sat on the stool mid-round. And I'm like, what's happened in this round? I want them to take that approach with pro wrestling, that the match is meant to be serious. We're supposed to want to watch the match. Then if you want to go to an advert between matches or afterwards or before, the match should prioritize over a segment in between. That you should never cut to an advert between bells. And that I think they should take lead of like MMA or boxing or something. If you want this to be a worked fight, treat it like a worked fight. Don't cut to advert mid-match.
Exactly. I completely agree. This is what I really like AEW for this. They do a lot of picture-in-picture, which means, fair enough, they have the advert, but you've still got the match as the main screen. So it is picturing, you're still getting the advert part, but we're giving you the actual match still going. And they'll generally finish a match and then they'll have an advert. I know the show's a lot less. It's only 2 hours compared to the three of Raw. But Raw's fucking stupid. You have like four advert breaks in the first like 20 minutes.
So what would your number two be?
My number two is probably on your list as well, mate. Vince to step down. Vince to go.
I'm sort of, my number two is a little bit like that, but yeah.
Vince has to go. He's lost touch. All you've got to do is look at the ratings, which you can blame COVID as much as you want to, but the ratings weren't fucking great before COVID.
If anything, I know there's no crowd, but no one's got anywhere to go during lockdown. So if anything, if you look at MMA or the UFC, again, I know I keep bringing it back, but this is what this podcast is about, is an MMA and pro wrestling podcast. UFC's never done better than at the minute because more people are watching because they've got nowhere to go. So the UFC is probably the best sport in the world at the minute. I mentioned it on the last episode. The way they're doing it without the crowd and stuff, it's one of the best sports to watch without a crowd. Their business is booming. And I feel like there's no reason pro wrestling and WWE shouldn't be in the same boat if the product's good.
Yeah, exactly. I completely agree, mate. Yeah, it's time for Vince to step down. Triple H to take over. If he does step down, it needs to be a complete fucking reset. When Vince steps down, there needs to be a clean break from Vince McMahon to Triple H.
I'd like to see him take their own product a bit more serious, because then as a viewer, I'd take it a bit more serious as well.
Yeah, exactly. 100% behind you on that one, mate.
So my number two, it's a little bit like what you've sort of said with Vince. Mine's more... I came from an era of general managers. I want to know who's booking the matches. Like, I know in the UFC, Dana White books the match. Well, he doesn't book the matches, but he's the head man. And then you've got you had Joe Silver and whoever else underneath him booking the matches. But again, that's MMA. It's not pro wrestling. But I like knowing who's in charge of SmackDown. I want to know who's in charge of AEW. I want to know who's in charge of Raw. I want to know who's calling the shots and booking the matches. I don't want it to just be, and this match is on. So I'm going, who's picked that?
Who's let that one go?
Yeah. Like if you look at NXT, for example, I know we keep praising it, and it looks like this is the theme we're going to have. You know William Regal's in charge, or that's who they show's in charge, whether he's actually got any power or not. He's presented as the man. He's the general manager. He books the matches. If you want a match, if you want to wrestle somebody, you go to William Regal. He sets it up. There, it ties all the ends.
Yeah. I missed it.
Don't know how you feel about that.
I'd say I missed Big T-Dog. T-Long, let's see. Yeah. Coming out.
For me, it's good to have a good general manager. Even a bad general manager is better than no general manager, I think. At least I know who's booking the match. If it's just random...
They've got this Adam Pearce guy, haven't they, that's been popping up. I don't know if you've been watching it recently.
I've seen him pop up a couple of times. What is he? What job role is he? Explain to me who he is, because if he keeps popping up and just goes, he seems to have a certain amount of power, and then other times I've watched it, he's got no power or not the same type of power. Just explain to us, even if it's just a name tag at the bottom when he's there, just tell us who he is and why he's there.
Exactly.
Is he the general manager? Is he a commissioner or something? But yeah, so my number two would be general managers. What's your number three?
Right, mate. Number three, and this is the most important one of all. We need to bring JBL back. We need John Bradshaw Layfield back on weekly commentary.
You want him on the commentary?
I want him on commentary. I just want him back on the team. I want him to sit back on TV. I just feel he some of the stuff he says is just wrong. But he knows how to make something a big fight feel.
True. He's got a confidence about himself that he doesn't care whether you like him or not, and he's not scared to say the wrong things because he's very comfortable with his position. And I notice a lot of the announcers these days seem scared for the job. So they're so scared to say something wrong or step out of line, their actual announcing's pretty just bog standard, cookie cutter sort of one thing from the other. Again, I know I keep talking about I'm working with my way through 2006, 2007. JBL's on the commentary team there. It's hilarious. Some of the stuff he was going on about Bobby Lashley and King Booker and Teddy Long, three black guys, and he's screaming down the microphone Teddy Long's racist towards King Booker because he's booking Lashley more fair. And oh, he knows what he's doing. He's doing it on purpose because it's funny.
Yeah.
But he's happy to sort of push those sort of boundaries a little bit, just for a bit of humour. He's not obviously serious, and it's just a bit of a laugh. But when he said it, I genuinely burst out with a bit of a laugh when he said it. I was like, I can't believe he's just said that. But it's all in good spirit. It's all fun. It's not meant to actually harm anyone. But that was just something I noticed was, he's got a confidence about him to be able to crack a joke like that live on TV.
And know he's going to be.
And I miss that. I miss that sometimes. Not that joke, but I miss that sort of confidence on your commentary team sometimes.
This is what I mean. The commentary at the minute confuses me. Michael Cole at Hell in the Cell come out and said it's boss time, and then he left. Why? Why has he turned up to just say Sasha Banks is going down? Don't get me wrong. I used to hate that line, but I'm starting to love it now. It's just, you need JBL back. Corey Graves, for me, I was a big fan of Corey Graves, but now he's just turned into just, he's so bland. He's so bland. Even Tom Phillips.
I couldn't tell you one that I enjoy at the minute. I can't tell you one.
The biggest one is saying they've lost him is Mauro Ranallo.
Yeah, actually, he felt like he was enjoying what he was so excited about. What he was watching, that made you sort of follow him along a little bit, if that makes sense. He wasn't just trying to sell it to you. It felt like he was enjoying what he was watching, so then it brought you along with him.
It felt like you were a side point. He was there enjoying what you were doing and what he was watching, and him announcing it to you was a side task. If that makes sense, like you weren't the important part. He was enjoying and just talking about what somebody he loved. you being a fan, as they were just, you're enjoying what I'm doing. He put that passion into it. I think that's probably the right word. He was very passionate about what he was watching.
I agree. So my number three would be, I'd want to change the structure of the pay-per-views. Bear with me with this one. I think Survivor Series has made me realise this. So everyone knows that watches wrestling, that if you win the Royal Rumble, you wrestle for the belt at WrestleMania. So it makes the Royal Rumble match important, or feels like something they'd want to win, or somebody'd want to win, so they can get to WrestleMania to fight for the belt. The problem with the Survivor Series elimination team style match, and they keep saying it's for bragging rights, but who actually gives a fuck about bragging rights? That's where I'm at. Like, they've just done a new draft last week, so they was all on the opposite show anyway a week ago. Why would any of them actually care that much if Raw or SmackDown wins? You'd have thought, especially the bad guys or the heels, they care more about themselves and just want to go win the belt, or do something. They'd be more selfish. That should be within their character. So quickly, just this is what I'd do. So I'd change the Elimination Chamber from February and I'd put it in December. And then the five superstars on the men's elimination match at Survivor Series and the women's, whichever five-person team wins at Survivor Series, the next month goes into the Elimination Chamber and the sixth person in the chamber is the champion. So you feel like as a team, you have to win at Survivor Series, because then as a team, you get to challenge for the belt next month in the Elimination Chamber.
See, I had a similar idea, Nick. I've been throwing this one around. Mine's more to do with the Royal Rumble and Survivor Series. So the five-man team come out 25 to 30 in the Rumble.
Yeah, the problem is that with that, I had a little think about that myself. But it takes any of the surprise aspect out of the Rumble. I wouldn't want to damage the Rumble for the sake of Survivor Series. The Rumble sets up Mania. And I get what you mean. Survivor Series could set up Royal Rumble. But I think what fits better with the five-person team is, what's the point of the Elimination Chamber at the minute? So it sort of fixes two pay-per-views with one solution, if that makes sense. So the Elimination Chamber match, people just get thrown in it randomly. Why are they in that match? Survivor Series, what's the point in winning? If you win at Survivor Series, and if we do this again another time, which I hope we will, we'll go over this subject as well. I hate when the name of the show is the match. So I don't like Elimination Chamber, Hell in a Cell, TLC, Money in the Bank. I used to like when it was like Armageddon, No Way Out, Vengeance, Backlash. Like, you'd have that sort of name and then the match was part of it. So I always liked the last pay-per-view of the year to be called Armageddon, because it was the end of the year. I'd have Armageddon in December, the Elimination Chamber matches at Armageddon in December. Whatever five-person team, Raw or SmackDown, wins at Survivor Series, moves into the Chamber match to face their brand's champion.
Yeah, exactly.
With the men's and women's. But that'd be my number three.
I like that, mate. I'm on board for that. I like that.
Just to give a bit of purpose. Right then, so we're up to an hour now. But before we go, what I want us to do is I want us both to pick one match for this year's WrestleMania, and why. So I want you to go first, then I'll go why. I know where we spoke about it. Again, let me just whip those curtains back. I sort of mentioned about three, but we're up to an hour now. So what I want to do is just come up with one really good match for this year's WrestleMania. Curtains closed, go.
Roman Reigns versus The Rock. 100%, it's got to be done now. See, Roman's the Rock.
And why?
So Roman's the heel now. He keeps calling himself the chief, calls himself head of the table. He ain't the head of the table till he beats The Rock. The Rock's the head of the how do you say them? Anoa'i family? I'm probably butchering the...
Owyhee, I think they said. Owyhee?
Yeah, something along those lines. I'm sorry for butchering the name, but he doesn't... That's the final thing for Roman. If Roman beat The Rock as a face at WrestleMania, that cements him as that heel character. If he cheated to win as well, it'd be fucking amazing. Everyone would just fucking hate him. And it'd cement him as one of the biggest heels ever in wrestling. It'd be so good for that fight. And you're pulling eyes to the product that wouldn't watch wrestling. So you're going to watch, you've got Fast and Furious 9 coming out as I say, roughly around WrestleMania time. So you're going to go, oh, is that the guy watching Fast and Furious? So he's wrestling at WrestleMania. Oh, I'm going to watch that. As I say, it brings that, them sort of other eyes to the product, as I say, from outside. It gets some numbers up as well.
Yeah, I agree. I know that's been talked about quite a bit recently. My only issue with that match, not to poke holes in it, would be, I think it'd be quite obvious who would win, especially if the belt's on the line. So again, sort of like how you mentioned in the Moxley and Eddie Kingston match, the belt was sort of background noise. I think not only that, for this one, it'd actually hinder the match a little bit because it'd tell you who's going to win. If neither of them had the belt, you wouldn't really know who's going to win in Roman and The Rock. But because The Rock, you know, is going to come back for one match and then leave, they're not going to put the belt on him. He's not going to be around every week to defend the belt or be on TV or every month.
Yeah.
He'll be too busy. So I think the only problem with that would be, I had to think about this myself, it'd just show you who's going to win the match.
Yeah. It's just who do you put the belt on? That was my thing. So I still stuck with that match because I feel that is a big money match. You'd have to find a way to get him into the belt.
Yeah, I don't know who takes the belt off him at the minute.
But yeah, what's yours then, mate?
So mine, not to outbook you. I don't think The Rock's going to come back. Realistically, I mean, in a dream fight scenario, a dream match scenario, it'd be nice for him to come back. I don't think there's any chance he's going to come back. So just bear with me on this. Let me explain it. I'm going to tell you it. You're probably not going to like it, but give me a second.
Okay.
So this year's WrestleMania, I will book Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar again.
Okay.
And this time, because it's not been very good up to now, but this is how I'd do it. I'd have McIntyre coming at one on the Rumble. Look like he's going to win it at the end. Lesnar come out at 30. Throw him out. Got revenge for last year. And now you'd have Roman versus Lesnar again at WrestleMania. But the tables are sort of turned this time. Roman's character is much better. He's more compelling. And I'd base the entire build around Paul Heyman. So both Roman and Brock aren't that charismatic. Roman's really good at the minute. But Brock, for instance. But Heyman's amazing. So I'd just have Heyman tell this story between the Rumble and Mania. About he doesn't know who to side with. Or he's scared of them both. Or he doesn't know what to do. Because Brock's his guy. He's been his guy for years. But now he's with Roman. I think Heyman would be able to do an amazing build. And the only reason is, like we've already talked about, Roman's such a star at the minute. They've watered everybody down. I don't really see that many compelling, outside of like yourself, like you just said, we've both picked two part-time guys to come in to face him. Because the full-time guys at the minute, they've been ruined. There's not anybody that you actually believe can take the belt from him. But I think you bring Lesnar back, and then you're like, oh, well, Lesnar can, if anyone can take the belt off him, it's Brock. And they've done it, they've swerved us so many times when we think Brock's going to lose or someone's finally going to take it off him. And then he's flattened him within minutes, smiled at the camera, gave you that horrible look he's got on his face of just trying to piss people off and then leaves and you're angry. I think you could sell a very good, for the first time, it actually being good, Lesnar versus Roman at WrestleMania one more time, but the roles are sort of reversed. Heyman tells the story.
Yeah, I say, I'll be honest, mate, I quite like that idea.
It's a hard sell at first. When you first hear it, it's like, oh, not again. But with the story and stuff, now again, I'm all about a story. I think this new character Roman's got and where Heyman is, I think you could really do a good build, and it would feel like a big star versus a big star. If you had Lesnar win the Rumble, he's not on either show, so you could sort of spend a few weeks trying to guess which belt he's going to go for. Heyman could be sort of panicking that he's going to come after Roman, trying to talk Brock into going over against Randy Orton or Drew McIntyre, whoever's got the belt. Heyman's trying to push him that way. Brock's sort of leaning towards Roman. Roman's too arrogant to care. Roman says he'll flatten him if he wants to face him anyway.
Yeah.
You could play with all sorts of things, I think, and I think it could be quite an interesting story.
Yeah, it's 100%.
Based around Paul Heyman.
I tell you what, mate, I'm not one for ever getting excited about Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar, as you say, but I'd be game for that.
Could you imagine if he didn't tell you who he was actually going to face, and Paul was constantly every week trying to get Lesnar to do what he wants, but Lesnar's never going to do anything other than what he personally wants to do anyway. And then Roman's this arrogant character at the minute. I think it could work really well.
It could do. It's like, it'd be very similar, mate, to when Batista won the Rumble.
Exactly. That's sort of where I got a bit of inspiration from, when Batista wins in 2005 and he's Triple H's guy, but Triple H is scared that he's going to pick him, and he's a bit scared of Batista, so he's trying to push him towards SmackDown, and then all of a sudden he turns. It wouldn't be that story. I think you could base it more around Paul Heyman, as I think he could sell you the fight or the match. But yeah, I think just because of the lack of stars, that's why I'd do that one for this year's WrestleMania.
Yeah, fair game. I think it's quite interesting, as we both gone for part-timers, like you say. And most of my other two was pulling people up from NXT to fight other people, my other two matches. So it's very interesting retrospective on the main roster at the moment, that we have to pull the people into big matches.
Yep, people that aren't on the main roster, either NXT or part-timers, because they've literally done nothing with the guys that are there at the minute. They've made Roman look so good and everybody else look so subpar. There's nothing that's that compelling for a big show. And it's a shame.
Exactly. It's I do enjoy I've quite enjoyed this Jey Uso thing, man. Jey Uso's done really, really well to put the Roman character over. They've been very clever about how they've done it. But yeah, mate, I quite like this new character. I'm interested to see where Roman goes from here.
Yeah. So before we leave, who wins this year's Royal Rumble? Realistically, who's your pick? If I betted you money on it right now, if I betted you, it's up to you, a fiver or £1,000, I ain't got that, but if I put money on it now, who would you say wins this year's Royal Rumble?
Here we go. Why don't we go for a wrestling t-shirt? If either one get this right.
If either one of us gets it right, if you get it right, out of 30 people, I'll buy you a wrestling shirt.
And I'll do the same for you. So my pick is Brock Lesnar.
I've just sold you on that, and then you picked my selling. I think I'm right about that as well. But just to go differently, I think Drew McIntyre wins it 2 years in a row.
I'd take that and say, but I'm hoping Drew... What I want to happen is, I want Drew to get the belt back, and I want Randy to lead into Mania and fight Edge again as a revenge match for Noam injuring him.
Yeah, Edge is a shout. Edge could win the Rumble as well.
Yeah.
When I was looking earlier, Brock Lesnar hasn't run the Rumble since 2003. For some reason in my head, I thought he'd won recently, but I think he just walks into most Royal Rumbles with the belt already.
Mm.
That every time he, apart from last year, he hasn't won since 2003, so I think they're lining Lesnar up for another Royal Rumble win, which I don't think a lot of people would want to see. But I think you'd tie the Drew Lesnar story back in, and you'd have him come out last or something, while Drew's been in since number one, and get his revenge for last year for eliminating him.
Yeah, I'd say I quite like that, because Drew doesn't lose anything because he's knackered. He's been in there for an hour or so, and it's just he's fucked. So Lesnar's
fine. What I like is, I've spent a good part of an hour trying to think about that match and who's going to win. And then as soon as I've asked you who's going to win, you've took all my work and chose my guy.
But yeah, I couldn't think of anyone. So we're going to say someone stupid. I was going to go like, oh, Cesaro, or like Shinsuke or something like that. And they're like, no. Brock Lesnar after hearing that. Makes sense.
The only thing I could think of is, I know they're using him right now, but we know he's a company guy, would be Seth Rollins. We know he's a company guy. He'll probably be back on top eventually. They've just not done much with him at the minute. But I'm pretty confident in saying, in the next 5 years at some point, he'll be the champion again.
Oh, 100%. So will Otis. Otis as well. It's a big OT. He'll be a champ at some point, mate. It's as well. He's equally as good.
Yeah, I don't think you're being serious there, are you?
it's just wishful thinking. I think you are right. Seth's always, it's just a matter of time with Seth, and he's going to be a belt holder again.
Yeah, we've got a t-shirt on the line. If Brock wins, I've got to buy you a shirt, so looks like I better get ready to buy you a shirt, get picking something. And then, obviously, if Drew McIntyre wins, then I get a shirt, but I'm not counting my chickens there. But, right, so where can people find you if they want to listen to you? So it's the Intercontinental Wrestling Podcast. Where on social media will you be as well?
So on Twitter and Instagram, we're ICWPod. Please give us a follow. We've been picking up a little bit of steam at the minute. And then if you want to catch the podcast, We're on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Podcasts. Is saying you can find us, is say we're releasing at the minute every couple of weeks. Is say there is sometimes a mini episode in the middle of that, but is say just come and give it a listen. Let us know what you think.
Awesome. So you can also find myself at the CPW Pod on Instagram. Sounds a little bit like yours. I wonder where I've got the inspiration. The CPW Pod. P-O-D. I don't know why I've just had to read that out. Don't even know my own Instagram. So I'll be on there. Yeah, hopefully by the time this comes out, you're already listening to it on Spotify. I should be on all the big streaming services anyway.
Yes.
Yeah, but you never know. You never know. I don't even know if this is going to get aired. I hope it does. But up until 2 weeks ago, I was typing with one finger still, so I'm surprised I've got this far. But thank you for coming on anyway, my friend. When you're back in December, we'll have to do one in person. We'll get some pictures and stuff in person. And I'd like to do one, actually, not to tie you in. I'd love to do one about actual wrestling games, since we spent all our childhood playing on games against each other. I think it'd be quite good to do sort of top 5, top 10 wrestling games of all time.
I'm game. So you give me... This week's been a bit mental. Like, I'm doing three podcasts in a week. But generally, mate, I could probably fit in a second recording.
We'll have a look in December time. Have a look in December time on the back. But anyway, thank you for listening, and we'll see you on the next one.
See you a bit, guys.